It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the studying of the Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'd love for you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 1 through verse 11. We've read that for the last 4 weeks, I know, but it's a joy to read that precious word as we continue to study verse by verse through those precious scriptures. While you're looking that up in your Bibles, I would like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois. The address is 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor. I would love to hear from you folks if you drop me a card or a note or a letter. I'd love to hear when you folks come to know the Lord Jesus because of the proclaiming of the Word. Or maybe you were saved in your church. You're just saved, and you enjoy the radio program along with your growing. That's great. Please, that you'd write me so I could pray for you. And just write a note, Parkview Bible Church, Hamilton, Illinois, address at 18th and Church Street, and please that you just send me a note, if you would, please. 62341 is the zip code, so please drop me a note and let me know that you're listening and that you're growing with it. Maybe you've been saved because of it. Whatever. If you have some questions concerning salvation, please that you drop me a line and I can be praying for you, get back to you, anything. Please that you let us know how we can help you, because we're here to study the Word of God and to grow in the precious Word. Now that you have opened your Bibles, I'd like to read with you Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus, who are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God unto every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day, until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long after you all in the tender mercies of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Oh, the blessed, precious word that we have. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study. Father, I thank you today that we can come and enjoy this precious, sweet time in studying your word. I ask that you continue to grow us in your word. And as we proclaim it, as we search it, as we let the Holy Spirit touch our hearts as we open your word, I ask that you will expose every sin that is in my life, every sin that is in the people's lives that are listening, Father. I ask especially that you will touch the heart of each and every lost soul, those that have never come by faith to you and been saved. I ask today that you'll take this word, that you'll touch their heart, you will draw them unto you, and they will receive you as their Savior and make you Lord of their life. I ask, Father, that they meet you at the cross of Calvary where you offered yourself for them. Please, Lord, the death, burial, and resurrection. We know that we can have life because of your death, and not only because of your death, but also because of the sweet resurrection. Oh, that we may come to you and trust in you and have the very power and presence of your precious blood as it has saved us and keeps us. Please, Lord, that you will guide and lead us through your precious word as we study this sweet book of Philippians. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, as we studied last week there concerning Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Last week we talked about how Paul and Timothy were so very close, even though right now Paul is alone in prison in Rome, yet he includes this dear young brother of his, Timothy, as they had walked together, proclaimed the gospel together, and they call themselves the servants of Jesus Christ. And you know, we need to be so careful that we continue to hold the role of servant. That should be our responsibility. We should be continually giving as a servant to his or her master, as they continue to give and give and give. And we need to learn that. And please, as it says here, Paul calls himself one of the greatest preachers ever, proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet he calls himself a servant of Jesus Christ because he wants to do everything that Jesus wants him to do. And you see, if you listen to your master, and if you do everything that your master calls you to do and tells you to do, then you are a good servant. Paul wanted to be called a good servant. Timothy wanted to be called a good servant. I hope that you want to be called a good servant. Well, you need to seek the will of God and do it. First thing of all, he calls you to be saved. He calls you to the cross of Calvary that you can come to know the Lord Jesus. And then upon coming to Jesus Christ, then can you begin to serve him and be the servant you should be. And as we looked at this, we looked at a couple other things. We looked as well that it calls to all the saints in Christ Jesus to whom are in Philippi. In order to be a saint, you have to come to know the Lord Jesus and be saved. You have to walk after the Lord Jesus. But the first step and the important step is that you must come by faith to the Lord Jesus. He calls them saints. Any believer in Jesus Christ becomes a saint. And I know that you know some folks that attend church and maybe even some folks that are truly saved, but they don't act like saints. Well, they need to set their heart right and turn their life over to the Lord Jesus and surrender their will, that they live pleasing unto the Lord. But even though they don't, in God's sight, in God's eyes, they are saints. They are perfect, you know, because we are covered by the precious blood of Jesus. And by being covered by the blood of Jesus, when God the Father looks down, the only thing he can see is that precious blood. And that protects us, that has us clear of every sin we have ever committed or ever will commit. We are set free from by Jesus Christ. And so please that you come to Jesus and be saved, and then you set your life to serve them. And this letter is written from Paul. He includes his brother, this brother in the Lord, Timothy. And they call themselves servants of Jesus Christ. The letter is written to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. There's a definite church that he is writing to. Last week, and I want to just touch it just a minute here, how that he says very clearly to all the saints in Christ Jesus. That is the church. Believers in Jesus Christ, not because you just have your name on a church roll and you have never, just because you have went through the training. Many churches call it confirmation, but church training, that you are taught the church doctrine and things of that sort. Also, many times, I mean, they teach you many, many verses of Scripture. But as you learn those verses of Scripture, and supposedly once you get past that time, and that time is age 12, 13 years old usually, when you get beyond that time, then you understand everything, and so then you become a member of the church. Usually that's done around Easter time. And you can come in and you can become a member of the church then by this. The only way you become a member, a true member, a real member of the church, is to come by faith to Jesus. That's the only way. It doesn't matter how much teaching or training or anything that you have. If you ignore the call of God to come to be saved through the blood of precious blood of Jesus Christ, if you neglect such a sweet gift, then you are still lost. You are not a member of any church. You may be a member of a social group that calls himself a church, but if you are not saved, and you may even have your name on the roll of a very strong Bible-preaching church, soul-winning church, but unless you've been saved, you are not a member of the church. Please that you come to Jesus and trust in the Lord Jesus so you can become a member of the church. It's so important that you, and again, I'm not talking about having your name on the roll of this church at all. I'm talking about you having your name written down in the book of life, because that's the only place that qualifies you to be a member of the church. Those that are pleasing unto the Lord. Please that you trust in Jesus. These folks who Paul is writing to are folks that have trusted in Jesus Christ. Many folks that he had led himself to the Lord Jesus and enjoyed that time of fellowship. And that's the reason this is such a sweet body of believers that he loves. And then he continues after he has acknowledged the church. Now he comes back and he said, with the bishops and deacons. Last week we looked in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we read the first 13 verses of that chapter, and it tells us of the qualifications that a bishop and a deacon. Now, we kind of moved those words a little bit. Bishop has taken on the place as a pastor, elder, shepherd, overseer, a minister. The greatest work that we have, we found and read in the 26th chapter, verse 18. These are all verses of Scripture that I think are worthy of reading again. To Acts 26, 18, Paul was talking to King Agrippa, and he wanted King Agrippa to be saved. Now, he desired the heart that King Agrippa be saved, and he went before him, he pleaded with him, and he gave his testimony. And here is one part of his testimony that he shared that is his responsibility, Paul felt, as a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 18, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inherit among them which are sanctified by faith. That was the call. That was what Paul wanted. It was the desire of Paul's heart to everyone that he had the chance to share the gospel with, that they would hear that so very clearly. And so the bishop, again, kind of takes the name as maybe a pastor or someone like that. But again, always a servant. Holds the responsibility and the position of a servant. A servant is one that listens to the master and does what the master says, and the master's God. And so please that we listen to the master and we be good servants. We do not be reverends. We're not there for the position and to be lifted up by people at all, by man at all. But we are there to serve and to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus, that people can turn from the darkness to light. The deacons, they hold the responsibility to take care of the bishops or for spiritual. The deacons are more for the physical, material things. And there were some material needs. And as we look in Acts chapter 6, verses 2 through 4, we have a small explanation here. Acts chapter 6, verse 2 through 4, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. You see, the bishops were beginning to, the pastors, the ministers, were having to take care of some of the material needs that the people had. And by doing that, it was causing them to walk away from the word of God and not spend time in the word of God. And so by doing that, then, they decided by the leadership of the precious word, and again, we have it back in 1 Timothy chapter 3, a description of these offices. But it says, you please call out. And again, I'll read verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples. Those disciples, ones that are good servants of God to begin with in order to be called a disciple. And said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So there was responsibilities there, some physical responsibilities. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, that we may give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. That's what they set out to do. Now, but look again, as we went through, and I don't want to take time to, but please that you would go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and read the first 13 verses to see the requirements, the qualifications that these men should have. They were very spiritual men, very upstanding men, men that people looked up to. They did not do it because it held with a position, and so now that I'm a man of authority, and they can become very prideful. And each time, money is not important to these people because they are doing it for the service and for the glory of God and the furtherance of the gospel. And here again, we have that they be full of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, and that they may that way the bishops, the pastors can return to the Word of God and be prepared as they proclaim the precious Word of God. And so the responsibilities of the bishops and deacons, as we have here in verse 1 of chapter 1 of Philippians, that was the responsibility of these men, but he addressed the church first because the church is so important, which the bishops and deacons are a part of. But the bishops and deacons are called out men that are there for the responsibility of keeping the flock close to God, meeting not only with the spiritual needs, but also with physical needs, with the flock of the building, things like that, like a trustee would today. And so as you see that, we always need to remember that the work, and I ask you again that you go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. So often today we have forgotten those responsibilities, and we have allowed those roles, not so much the pastor maybe. The pastor would like to more likely be called reverend and lifted up, and everybody think he's somebody real important, and instead of holding with the role of servant, then the deacon, they hand that job around just like, okay, I'm going to take my turn this time, and I'll serve for 6 months or for a year or for maybe 2 years, and then I'll go off and then somebody else can have their turn. They were to go out and to find honest men with a good report, full of the Holy Spirit and with wisdom. Now, there were some great responsibilities that even the people that were taking care of the physical needs, it was so important that those men held with those responsibilities. And today, the reason we have so much trouble in the church today is because you can't get anybody to work. They are so lazy in the Word of God and so lazy in carrying out this role of being a servant of the Lord Jesus. When they called these men, when that 12 called these men, he says, choose from the disciples. The disciples were workers. They were already servants of God. And you take out from them, you choose good men, solid men, sound spiritual men, that can wise men in the Word of God, in the power of God, in the presence of God, that they can further the gospel with us. That's who they went to choose. And today, it gets kind of slim sometimes with the picking. You know, when you look across and you have struggles to even keep people in church, let alone that they're knocking the church doors down to get to work, to hold with that servant. You know, they think if they come a couple times a month, they've accomplished something. My friend, we need to be in the house of God. We need to be there every time the doors open. We don't want to miss for anything. That should be the most important thing. People that take their job so important would never begin to miss being at work on time and give a full day's work and walk away from that job when the job is over at the end of the day, but return the very next day, sick or not, weather bad or good, doesn't matter, because I'm going to be there. Oh, my friend, I wish that they would feel the call of God, that their heart would be touched, that they would see the responsibility to be in the house of God and never miss, as they never miss at work. Well, I'm afraid that they would rather please that employer, which is so very important as a Christian, but they've got their priorities messed up. They would rather please that employer so that their check becomes bigger than they would to please and be in God's favor. They would rather please man for money than please God that He be glorified. Oh, we got our priorities messed up, my friend. We got our priorities messed up. This sweet message here, it begins then in verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you know, there never in a time do you find that the peace is placed before grace. It says, grace and peace unto you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Never do you see one ahead of the other. And with Paul here, you never see one without the other. You never have peace without grace. And there is no grace and peace unless it comes from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you can feel the power and the presence of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, is if you come by faith to Jesus and be saved, and then set your heart and your life out. You wonder why you're sitting in church and you're faithful to the church, and maybe you're a child of God. You've come to the Lord Jesus and you've been saved, but you can't understand why that you lack that joy. Well, look at how faithful you are, because the very first thing He calls us to do is to be faithful. And if we're not faithful in the house of God, you're not going to have that peace that He's talking about. You're not going to have that joy. It's something how you want everything. You want it all, don't you? Well, you're not going to have it all. And you're going to find out that you're going to be lacking and you're going to have nothing unless you surrender your heart and your life and you get faithful and get serious about serving God. It's so important that we get faithful and serious about serving God. We have here, too, we have a Greek and a Hebrew greeting, grace and peace, and it's so important that we look at the Word of God and enjoy this precious Word, but to see the grace and the peace. And you know, as we enjoy studying from verse to verse and chapter to chapter, and I have in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, there is only one way to have peace. There's only one way to have joy. Now, I'm not making this up. I'm not just stirring this up. This is not the doctrine of this church. Oh, it is the doctrine of the church, but it's not because of being the doctrine of the church. It's because of the doctrine of the Word of God. That's what we stand by. We stand upon the truth, the Word of God, and nothing more, nothing less. All the Word of God and its precious power and strength. And when I read a verse like that in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified, I'm justified because I've been saved. I've been saved by that precious, precious blood of Jesus Christ as it was shed upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, my friend, and the Scripture continues to go on and tells us of not only the crucifixion, the death, but also the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And not only that, but His precious blood keeps us. Please that you look unto the Word of God and trust in it, that we may have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a glorious verse of Scripture as we look from verse to verse and enjoy those precious things. We have in James chapter 1, verse 17, it tells us every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Again, James 1, 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Oh, we love the precious Word, don't we, as we look to the Word of God. You know, we have a blessing in Numbers, back with Moses, and we have in Numbers chapter 6, I love studying the Scripture. I love studying the Word of God. And so we have not only many studies, and I have a Sunday school class, and then I have the message I preach, and then on Sunday night, every Sunday night now, we're in the book of Isaiah, and then on Monday night, we're in La Harpe at the nursing home up there in a Bible study, and up there we're in the book of Acts. On Tuesday afternoon, there's a ladies' Bible study here at the church. They're studying the book of Revelation. And then we go to Wednesday night. Wednesday night, we're in the book of Numbers. And then we have a Bible study in the La Harpe area again once a month at the end of the month. And we're in Colossians. And you know, as we enjoy the verses in the precious Scripture, and we also beginning a study down in Alexandria, Missouri, and their first time, and we met several months ago, and then we quit for harvest. Now we're beginning again, and you know, as you look into the Word of God, and we take every opportunity we have to study and precious the precious Word of God, and you know, to look to the Word of God and to study the Word of God, and here in Numbers, as we've been studying on Sunday night, and we're much further than this, but to look at the 6th chapter, verses 23 through 26. Numbers chapter 6, verse 23 through 26. Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Oh, we've heard those words many times, haven't we? Many, many times we hear that precious closing there, that blessing there. And please that we take that to heart, that we be as Israel, that we want the blessings of God. And again, it says, the Lord make his face shine upon thee. Well, there's only one way you can do that. That's to come to Jesus by faith and be saved, and then set your heart to please him. That everything you do be to his honor and to his glory. Oh, that you would do that. And be gracious unto me, the Lord, that he would have mercy upon me. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Oh, I do want the peace of God upon my life. And I believe that you want the same, that you come to the Lord Jesus and you walk after the Lord Jesus. Oh, this sweet, precious word. As we study and look through the Word of God, go verse by verse as we enjoy the precious, precious Word. You know, as you look to the Word of God and we study the Word of God, it's important that you don't miss these verses of Scripture. It's important that you understand who the bishop and deacon should be. It's important, my friend, that you not miss any of these verses of Scripture. I hope that you enjoy studying them. I hope you enjoy looking through them. Paul and Timothy, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to listen to that and be that address that Paul gives into the church, because he desires and he knows the grace of God, because the grace of God allowed us to be saved. His love came forth through his Son Jesus Christ that we could be saved. His grace allows me to walk each day. His grace allows me to to breathe his this air, to live. Everything that he has given me, every talent that I have, everything that I have gained in this life has been given to me from him because of his grace. And none have I earned. Not one thing. The level that I'm kind of stumbling here, because I tell you what, my friend, I have not earned salvation, and there is nothing I can do that would merit salvation for me that I could earn it. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve an opportunity. I don't deserve any of that. But I praise him that he died for me and that I had an opportunity to be saved and come to him. But I know that you're in the same condition. You don't deserve it either. You don't deserve anything that you have. But by his grace, we have received it. But please don't miss the very most important thing that he has given you, and that's salvation. Please that you be saved today. Please come to him today. It's so important that you see that. So important that you look unto him. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God unto every remembrance of you. Isn't it something how that every time Paul would think about them, I thank my God. He would praise God for these people in Philippi. And you know, that's what a church should do. That's what a local body of believers, as they come together, should do. Oh, they should, every time that I see someone on the road, or I see them here in church, or I see them in a store, or any place that I see them, I should just turn and say, thank you, God, for them. They're precious saints that you have bought and paid for. And I love them. I love working with them. I love serving you with them. And I praise God for you. You know, if we would do more of that, I believe we'd be faithful to the church of God, because our mind would always be set upon not only lifting up the brothers and sisters in Christ, but also, my friend, our heart and our mind would be to help them, to serve. I'm back to this servant. That's the position that a believer should have. A disciple in Jesus Christ should have. They should be servants in Jesus Christ and be servants to the church. Faithful to the church and working in church. Servants unto the church. I thank my God unto every remembrance of you. Every time I think about you, I praise God. Oh, to remember and to think about and to pray for the friends that we have in Jesus Christ. For those brothers and sisters that have come to the Lord Jesus and been saved. And especially, this is the reason he gives us a local church, that we can come and that love and that power can be together as we come together in Jesus Christ, that all of us will hold with the grace and the peace of God. This is the folks that Paul is writing to. And he is saying that every time I think about you, I thank God for you. Every time I meet one of you, or your name, or your, you just pass through my mind, I lift it up unto the Lord and I thank God for you. Oh, you know, we wouldn't have so many complaints to each other, would we? If we would live that way, we wouldn't be pointing our finger at each other near so much, would we? We wouldn't have this backbiting and arguing within a local fellowship of believers if every time we would think of each other, we would lift up thanks unto God for them. We'd change, wouldn't we? Yes, we would. And you know, if you complain, if you're a backbiter, and if you're one kind of works behind the scenes to keep things stirred up so you can have your little old way, that's sin. You have fallen into the deep and the depths of sin, and if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, shame on you. Get down on your hands and knees, and you repent unto God that he'll return you to the fellowship. And you come before that body of believers, and you come before them and say, I'm sorry that I have fallen into sin. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, yes, you're a sinner. That's the only thing you know. But you can have forgiveness for that sin. That sin can be taken away, and you got sin, and you need to deal with it and take care of it. And I ask you that you come to Jesus today, that you trust in them, and you can be part of these folks that can say, I thank my God unto every remembrance of you. Oh, wouldn't that be great? Now please, we've looked through many things here concerning this sweet fellowship in this church in Philippi, and I've brought it right home that it's hopefully a fellowship that you have in your church. I hope that the folks are saved, and I hope that they've set their life to be servants instead of being you to serve and to cater to every whim they have, that they have the heart to be a servant. Now I ask you, what are you going to do about Jesus?